Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, free yarn, Socktober, knitted poppies, and my progress on to the sea. Welcome to episode 26 of The Ordinary Knitter. Free yarn. I bet that got your attention, your ears pricked up. Free yarn, yes please. I don't get very many knitting newsletters. I get vast quantities of email these days, as we all do. But I have signed up to a couple, either on the back of buying yarn from an outlet or because I'm just interested in what that person has to say. And I have, over the last few years, I've bought several times from Knit Shop, which is in London. Now, they're online at knitshop.co.uk. They're also on Twitter. And completely out of the blue, last week, I got a newsletter from them. I haven't paid close attention, but I don't get the impression that it's one of those that comes in regularly every week or every month, or at least if it is, it's slightly under my radar, for which, sorry. But I will admit that my attention was caught by the free yarn offer. And, you know, normally in these situations, you think, yeah, well, that's lovely, and free yarn is free yarn, but if it's because I've got to buy another 8 skeins of yarn and then I get my free yarn, then sadly I'm not in the market for it. But it turned out that it really was free yarn. And what was even better, they were extending their September free postage offer into November. So I'm now holding in my hand, I'm just trying to look for the weight, a 50 gram skein of yarn that I got completely free, gratis and for nothing. And I'm amazed. I mean, we have a family business. We have two, actually, completely different. And we do give out freebies from time to time, and I know that it just directly has an impact on your bottom line. So I'm amazed and delighted and hugely appreciative. Now, the yarn that they've sent me is Susan Crawford Coquette 4-ply vintage cotton. I have a feeling that it's mercerized cotton. I would have to look into this more carefully. I'm quickly examining this skein of yarn like it's Exhibit A. It looks like mercerised cotton to me, and I bought mercerised cotton first 3 or 4 years ago from Knit Shop, actually. I think it was the first thing I ever bought from them, and I got it when I was looking to knit bibs for a friend of mine who was expecting twins, and I knew she was going to go through a lot of bibs. And the virtue of mercerised cotton is that you can wash it, and I need to look into what it is that they actually do to mercerized cotton, but it's coated or something like that, which makes it very resistant to all sorts of things, including that incredibly corrosive baby dribble. So that's why I bought it then. I bought a variety of colours. I didn't know early on that she was expecting boys, so I got some colours that, you know, without wanting to be too hidebound, you may not traditionally consider to be boy colours. I think in the end, I didn't like the bib pattern that I'd had in mind. I think I ended up knitting her 2 hearts, just knitted hearts to hang over the cop. But hey, the mercerised cotton's been quite useful here and there. I went through a phase, as it were, of knitting chickens with this mercerised cotton, because some of the colours that it was in were brilliant for a slightly stylised chicken. And I had a Rowan, I don't want to get too distracted here, but if I quickly have a look in my projects on Ravelry, I had a Rowan pattern, a free pattern. I think it's something like Enid, Ernest and, oh, here we go, Esther, Ernie and Enid Easter chickens. I've made a number of those. I've sent them all around the country to various friends, and I entered one in the village show. My parents have one sitting on their fridge, but the colours just worked really nicely. If you've got a hen with a sort of mixed orange and slightly reddish plumage, I held the 2 strands together and just knitted together, and you've got this wonderful colour. It's very much like hen feathers, if you've got hens in that sort of colour, which I do. So although I didn't use it for what I originally intended, I had no trouble finding things to do with it. The reason I took this yarn, and I like to think ethically that if it had been an incredibly hairy woolly yarn, I wouldn't have taken advantage of the offer, because I know I won't get on with that yarn and I don't want to take things for the hell of it. But I went for this hook, line and sinker because something I've been wanting to do for a while is knit myself. I can't think of a better word, and it's going to make me sound like Ina Sharples from Coronation Street, but I want to knit myself some kind of hairnet, basically. I have wavy to curly hair, depending on how it's feeling on any given day, and I've recently really been trying to look after my curls much better. I've fed up of them sort of being crispy and dried out, and I've been looking at various things that I can do, and one of the issues is what happens overnight as you toss and turn on the pillow. The surface of your hair gets obviously very disturbed, and this can cause you problems if you already have a tendency to look a little bit like a cavewoman. So I got this because I thought that I could make myself some kind of basic hairnet. I've got a few patterns, but they don't seem to be in my Ravelry library. I was just having a quick skip through before I started, and I can picture one or two patterns that I've printed off, but for whatever reason, I haven't saved them into my library. But obviously, if and when I actually get round to doing them, then they'll be in my projects. The other thing, that the yarn has arrived in a little Ziploc bag, which is fantastic, because I do get a bit concerned about my yarn getting grubby, getting something spilt on it, that sort of thing. And if I've got a huge skein, which I'm using at the moment for To the Sea, and I'm knitting from both ends, or I was knitting from both ends when I was doing some aspect, anyway, I can't remember, something. Oh, I know, it was, although I was using that skein for To the Sea, I've been knitting from both ends of it for the socks that I made for my daughter recently. I get a bit concerned because you have to take the band off in order to be able to use the yarn that comes from the outside of the skein. And obviously, once you do that, the whole thing loses its structural integrity. And it's like having some kind of large cat that's decided to melt all over your lap. So it's great that this has come in a bag. And the other thing, and I can't tell you how grateful I am for this, I can see the pull end from the centre of the yarn. It's just sticking out. So that's absolutely fantastic. Again, with these socks I've just finished for my daughter, I knitted from both ends. I know it's something that Stacey Perry from Very Pink says you should never do, but I always do it. What a rebel. When I'm knitting socks two at a time, I'd far rather just manage one skein that I'm going from both ends of than have to manage two skeins. I know that for me, that would result in far greater disaster. Also, I don't have one of those neat little gadgets that you can use for winding a skein properly. I do try to wind them properly around my hand, but it never really goes very well. I've also tried winding them round a piece of the inner of a loo roll that's got notches in it. I've tried that. The thing I really want to learn to do is to wind those beautiful long hanks of yarn that I see people have, and I will get round to that at some point. Anyway, so the yarn is a lovely dark blue French navy 4-ply. It's called Susan Crawford Coquette Vintage Cotton. It's in this lovely plastic bag, and it's got the centre of the yarn is just sticking out, ready to be pulled. So I have to say, so far so good. And if what Knit Shop is trying to achieve with this giveaway is to get me interested in Susan Crawford yarn, then I'd say they're probably going quite well with that so far, because I haven't yet actually started knitting with it. But from what I've seen so far, it's ticking all the boxes. And who doesn't like a freebie? I have to say, I was very impressed with that. Also, even with something free, Knit Shop has sent me a discount code. Usually when you order from them, you get a little flyer that has a discount code in it. I think they may be time limited, but you know, even so. So if you're looking for yarn, I would definitely consider Knit Shop. So these socks that I've recently made for my daughter. I got a bit distracted. I started them when I needed a small project aside from the To The Sea jumper, because this jumper becomes huge and it really becomes quite unportable, certainly when you're knitting the main part of the body. And then once you've threaded the sleeves onto the same cable as the body, then it's huge and I just can't really take it anywhere. Also, by the time you're at that stage, you've got to concentrate quite a lot because of all the raglan decreases. So it's not something I would just take with me and knit away while having a chat or watching my son swim. So I started the socks. I wanted to do them for her. I know she likes them. She doesn't ask for much, and I wanted to do something nice for her. So I started a second pair. And I was doing them in the opposite colourway. So I started with cream toe this time. Cream toe, cream heel, cream cuff. That's the plan. And the variegated blue on the main part of the foot and up the calf. So I changed from the cream to the blue while I was at my son's swimming lesson. And I realised after about an inch that I had forgotten to rib, which is fairly unforgivable and stupid, but there we go. That kind of characterises my knitting, really. And at that point, I had a choice. I could, you know, after an inch of Aran knitting, I wouldn't have minded too much pulling that out. And because I had changed from the cream toe to the blue of the foot, I could have pulled out very easily. So, and I thought, no, sod it. Let's just try this. Let's see what it's like doing these just as a straight sock. And I sort of knew at that point that it was a bit of a point of no return. It's always the way, isn't it? If you notice that you've made a mistake, whether it's an out-and-out blooper, like a hole, because you've done something curious. I manage this sometimes with increases. Sometimes I manage to create a hole. Or whether you've simply used the wrong colour yarn in part of a pattern and it stands out. Or whether, like this, although it was a mistake because the pattern, these Soul Garden socks, they call for rib, you can argue that it's just a stylistic variation. And I do argue that. But in retrospect, now that the socks are finished, I think it was a little bit of a mistake. It's not too bad when she pulls them onto her feet. She has slightly wide feet. It's a family curse. But particularly as she tries to get it round her heel, she can do it. And I said to her, look, you know, shall I just do it again? She said, no, they'll stretch. And I'm not entirely joking here, learning from my past mistakes, and they say that nothing's ever wasted, I could actually tumble dry them deliberately and see if they stretch. But anyway, so that's it's kind of a bit disappointing. Also, interestingly, this is a variegated yarn, very variegated. There are white bits, some they're so pale blue, they're virtually white. There are some parts of the blue that are so dark blue, they're virtually black. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of rhyme or reason, because I might think I'm starting at the same point in the pattern on both socks. And then as I carry on, I realise that it's coming out really quite differently. So she's ended up with very different blue elements on them. There's a photograph of them on Instagram. And just quickly checking, I have updated my Soul Garden Socks Ravelry project. And yes, it includes a picture of both colourways. And you can see that one of them is a much heavier dark blue, two-tone dark blue up the calf than the other one. So we'll see. If she really struggles with them, I'll simply make them again for her, because, you know, I don't want her having to put up with socks that are tricky. Or the thing that I think will make it obvious is she just won't wear them because they'll be too difficult to pull on, and then I'll just quickly get on with something else for her. But I know she finds the other pair really cozy. They turn up in the wash regularly, so I think they went well. But surprisingly, as I was doing the heel, I actually found myself wondering if these socks might be a reasonable candidate for an afterthought heel. I really never thought I would ever hear myself say that after all the hassle and the stress and the agony of putting in what I think was technically a forethought heel into the socks I made for my husband a couple of months ago. I never thought I'd want to see an afterthought or forethought heel as long as I live. But actually, they wouldn't be too bad a candidate And I think perhaps from my point of view, because the socks are in an Aran yarn and there are far fewer stitches, it's all just a bit less of a nightmarish proposition. So we'll see. And maybe also, again, because I would be doing a complete afterthought heel where I'm not having to work with any pieces of yarn that have already been put in or anything like that, that might be different. So if I do end up doing another pair for her, then I think I might just have a go with this just for the hell of it. And then at least at that stage, I can say I've really, really, really tried with the afterthought and forethought heel. And if I still don't like them at that stage, then I think I can say I've given it a fair go. I was saying that I need a small project for when the jumper gets too big. At the moment, I'm doing the sleeves. Well, I've done the first one and I'm about a quarter of a way up the second one. They go really, really fast, the sleeves. I was talking last week, I think it was last week, about doing sleeves two at a time. And really, really wish that I had now done that, because when I got to the stipulated length of the sleeve for the first one, I discovered that I hadn't increased enough. I was saying last week, there's always that little element of room for judgment when you're deciding whether or not something is 2 centimetres. I think possibly with these really small lengths, is it more difficult because you're wrangling with the end of the tape measure and you've hardly got anything to play with, because I have to increase every 2 centimetres and it's nothing. I think now with the use of the knitting row counter on my phone, I think I've worked out that it's every 5th row that I increase, and I'm going to be interested to see how that goes when I get up to the top, because last with the first sleeve I ended up having to double up the increases in the last inch or so. I don't mind if the sleeve is a wee bit long, because as my husband did last time, the sleeves were too long, just that bit, but just enough, and he just folded them back and he said he really was perfectly happy with that, it wasn't an issue at all. But obviously I don't want to risk making them comedy long, so I decided, rather than risking this jumper being, you know, the sleeve being 6 inches too long, I would instead just double up the increases. So that then means that I've increased that little bit sharply at the top. Now, if I was doing two at a time, even if it meant I'd made that, because it would have meant I would have made the same mistake on the two sleeves, at least they would have matched. This way, it can be that I've one sleeve's fine and one sleeve's got these sharp increases at the end. So that was tricky. I also had a bit of an interesting exercise with the sort of binding off that you do at the top of the sleeve. I counted with great care, but I realised that I should have started binding off at the end of the previous round, because instead what I did was I started binding off at the beginning of the next round, and what you're doing is you're binding off 7 stitches at one edge of the sleeve, and because I did 3 at the beginning of the round, and then I bound off the other 4 at the end of the round, I'm left with 1 stitch kind of in the middle on its own. So that was silly of me. I sometimes find with the drops patterns that if you're, I say, an inexperienced knitter, if you're inexperienced with the type of garment or item that pattern is for, things like that quite often trip me up. Now, if I knitted jumpers all the time, I'd know that. There's all sorts of other things that I'm sure have become second nature to me, but something like that, that was just one of those little things. So when I come to do the same on this second sleeve, you know, I've learned now and I will understand what I'm doing. So for now, the second sleeve is my small project, and I will take that swimming this afternoon. But I'd like to think I'm going to get this sleeve finished in the next couple of days, at which point I will thread everything onto my biggest cable, or maybe my two biggest cables screwed together, and then I'll be, technically, I'll be on the home run, I suppose, but I don't think it's going to feel like it to begin with. I remember the first time I threaded the sleeves and the body onto the same cable and had to sort of try to work out what I was doing, and I must have done it literally and taken them apart again about five times before I was sure that I'd got it right, because none of it was making sense to me. I'd never done a proper raglan before, but it's okay. I think I'm much more easy now in my mind about what I'm trying to achieve with it, what the geography of it is, so I don't think that will go too badly. I will then need a small project again, and that's definitely going to have to be the little Halloween apple cozy pumpkins, because I really meant to get on with those. I'd also had fond ideas of, by now, charting out some new faces, and I was hoping to be able to share the charts with you. I still want to do that, but that's going to be next week at the earliest, and next week is half term, which means I won't be able to work so much. I've had to work really quite hard over the last couple of weeks, and it's just pushed other things, you know, into the other hours of the day, but with it being half term, I obviously I'll be doing a bit of stuff with the children. I'll be around a bit more. So I'd like to think I'll get those faces charted out. The other small project that I'm going to need to get on with very soon is a knitted remembrance poppy. I like to support the Royal British Legion, and normally I may still buy one of the laminated, well, the pins, because I just like them for what they are, but they can be very difficult to get hold of. And because I knit a poppy doesn't mean I won't make a donation. It's just something that I would like to do. And I had a good old hunt around on Ravelry. Amongst other things, there was the most beautiful bag. It was based on a Georgia O'Keeffe poppy design. It was felted, and that's just not an area that I've really gone into at all. And it's not what I was looking to do just now, but it was really lovely. If you're looking for something to make as a special present for someone special, then I really recommend going to look at that. It was really lovely, very stylish, grey, quite a dark grey background, and obviously then a red and black poppy. But the ones that I've found, the Royal British Legion has its own patterns for knitted and crocheted poppies, so I'll put the link to all of these on the show notes, and you can go and have a look at those if you want to. I found one in DK, which is on a website called auboudupre.com. I'm sure I've mangled that. Again, it'll be in the show notes. The thing I liked about that being in the DK is that I've got red DK. The only other red I've got that I can bring to mind, and having a quick look, my stash cupboard is in a slightly dark corner of my office, so I can't see everything clearly, but I know I've got some red sock yarn, and I've got red chunky, the Aldi chunky that I used to make the Terry's pullover for my husband. What was that, the beginning of this year? I think it was. But I know I've got DK for this pattern. I've got the DK with the slight glamorous fleck in it. I'm not really normally looking to bling up my remembrance poppy, but, you know, that might be an option. There's also one I found on a blog called Full of Beans and Sausages, written by a lady called Holly, and she has a knitted poppy pattern as well. I'm very, very fussy about things like this, but these ones, they look perfectly nice. They're all knitted rather than crocheted. They're knitted flat, so I'll have a look at those and see what I do. I'd like to do one. It's one of those little times of year. So between that and the Halloween apple cozy, I've got some small projects, plus all the masses and masses and masses of really big projects that I'd like to do. I think that's me. I seem to be falling into a habit of recording the podcast on a Tuesday, but not getting around to posting it online until a Wednesday. So that's probably going to end up being what happens this time. C'est la vie. I should give another mention to Knitting Hour on Twitter. It's a Thursday evening. If you search hashtag Knitting Hour, then it will come up with the confirmed time. I don't want to say off the top of my head in case I've got it wrong. I rarely manage to get to it because it clashes with my son's bedtime. We've also had a house full of people. I think I've worked out something like for the last month, we've had two nights where it's just been myself, my husband and our two children in the house. And obviously all of that has affected my ability to plug myself into the internet in the evenings. I'm on Twitter at the Ord Knitter. I pop up from time to time, I think it's fair to say. I'm always looking for interesting things to retweet on Twitter. I'm looking for information about knitting classes, about knitting groups. I'm always very, very jealous at how many knitting groups there are in other people's towns. Our one in Leinster is it's very small. It's just finding people who are free in the daytime. I know several people who are knitters, but they're just, they work, or they work in the mornings, or they work on Wednesdays, or whatever it is, and so they can't come along. But I'm in the UK. I have a UK focus. So if you are planning a knitting event, if you're going to be at a festival or an exhibition, or you know, an expo or something, if you have knitting classes to advertise, ping me at the Ord Knitter, and I'm very, very happy to retweet. I'm on Instagram at the Ordinary Knitter, and I'm on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. I'd love to hear from you what you like, what you don't like so much, what you're knitting, and what you're up to. And I look forward to chatting with you next week. I'm back. I was just listening to this. I always listen to it just to make sure everything's recorded okay, and I mentioned Socktober in the introduction and then completely forgot to mention it. I don't know if this is internet wide or I don't know, but on Instagram in particular, hashtag Socktober if you're a knitter, so Socktober, it's worth a quick look. It's clearly, you can't miss the fact that it's Socktober on Instagram, because if you follow any knitting account, chances are they're showing you socks. And I've knitted socks this month. So it's only the 18th. You've got another 15. No, that's not right, is it? Anyway, you've got best part of a couple of weeks to knit yourself some socks, or knit some socks for someone else, and take part in Socktober. Okay, I'm really going now. Bye.